Good morning, everyone. Thanks for everybody coming out this morning. So over the past 10 years since the confirmation of glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth in Georgia, while the rest of the Cotton Belt and the Deep South, the Mid-South, and the Delta have been dealing with this pest and its proliferation, the Texas High Plains has been largely unaffected until about 2 years ago. And while that timeline does coincide with me leaving Stanley Culpepper's program and moving to Lubbock, that does not necessarily indicate causation. One of the big issues with glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth in the Texas High Plains is the sheer scale of production that we have in that area. In the 20 counties that make up what's called the High Plains or the Llano Estacado, in 2013 they planted over 4.1 million acres of cotton. And with a crop that size, any pest that can reduce yields as much as Palmer amaranth can with even a low population is a major cause of concern. So we do know that it poses a significant threat, but so far it hasn't become as widespread and prolific as the Mid-South and the Southeast was going into 2009-2010, which is something that's really working in our favor. Another advantage that we have in this area is that we have over 10 years of research from universities and industry people throughout the Southeast and the Cotton Belt to draw upon, so we're not having to start from square one with a lot of the work and the efforts that we're putting forward to controlling and managing Palmer amaranth in the High Plains. Some of the methods that we're implementing in this area to educate and inform growers and to get this pest under control is a series of field trials throughout the High Plains, four or five on-farm trials each year, as well as a survey that was published in the spring of 2014 and will be published again in 2015. All of this in an effort to better inform growers about glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. So the purpose of the study that we'll be talking about today was to evaluate the effectiveness of residual herbicides on farm at several locations across the High Plains. Part of this was to get a better idea on how some of these residual herbicide programs work in different soil and environmental conditions, as well as to provide demonstration plots for the use of county agents in these three respective counties. The trials were conducted at three locations each in 2013 and 2014. In 2013, we had three locations in Gaines County, Texas, and in 2014, we had a location each in Martin County, Howard County, and Gaines County. To give you an idea of where these counties lie in relation to Lubbock, this is Lubbock County in the southern High Plains, not quite the panhandle of West Texas, and south to the southwest is Gaines County, and just south of that, Martin and Howard County. So while this is the lower end of the Texas High Plains, there are still major cotton-producing counties in this area that have all reported issues with glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. Treatments for these locations were either a pre-plant incorporated, followed by pre-emergence, a PPI followed by post-emergence, or PPI followed by pre and followed by post. And what we did was went into grower locations where they had already made their selection and applied a pre-plant incorporated herbicide, whether Treflan plowed in or Prowl watered in. We then followed these treatments either with a pre-emergence application of Caprol, a post-emergence application of Dual Magnum, or both a Caprol and Dual Magnum application. After the grower applications were made, our applications were made using a pressurized backpack sprayer at 10 gallons per acre, which is the most common application rate in this area. Palmer amaranth populations were recorded 1 month after post applications were made to determine escapes from the residual systems. And I think it's important to note at this point that prior to us making a record or recording the Palmer amaranth populations, there were no applications of post topical herbicides. No glyphosate or glufosinate was applied to these particular areas. So any control that we got from Palmer amaranth was purely from the residual herbicides. And once they emerged, we had to deal with them afterwards. In 2014, we recorded cotton seedling injury at three locations following emergence. In 2013, we had a fairly dry year, and we didn't see any of the injury that can occur with Caprol after a heavy rainfall. In 2014, we got a heavy rain event right after planting in most of this area, so we made note of any cotton seedling injury that we've seen for the following weeks. After we made our Palmer amaranth population, after we recorded the populations of Palmer, we removed the plants from the field to make sure that we didn't increase the weed seed bank for these particular growers. We analyzed the data using SAS, separated the means simply using Fisher's Protected LSD. Treatment did not significantly affect Palmer amaranth counts per square yard at locations 4, 5, and 6, This is possibly due to inconsistent populations that were fairly spotty throughout the reps. Palmer amaranth counts were reported at locations 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll report seedling injuries from locations 4, 5, and 6. The first location on the x-axis is our Palmer amaranth populations from 0 to 20, and on the y are different treatments. Treflan at the bottom, just a single application of Treflan preplant incorporated. Treflan followed by a pre-emergent application of Caparol. Treflan followed by a post-residual application of dual magnum. So we skipped the pre-emergence application and relied solely on a post-residual application following that PPI late season. And then our last treatment option was a full season or full program of Treflan followed by Caparol followed by dual magnum. So where Treflan alone was applied with nothing else added on top, added to it, we had a population of 18 Palmer amaranth plants per square yard. The addition of Caparol reduced the population to 3 plants, which is still not 100% management that we would like, but this makes it a lot more easier to control through other means later on in the season. By skipping that pre-emergence application of Caparol, we had 10 plants per square yard in those particular treatments. At the second location, we see the same trend, and that Treflan alone does not effectively control Palmer amaranth late into the season. The addition of Caparol pre-emergence is very important to get this weed under control so we don't over-rely on our post-topical herbicides. If we skip that Caparol application and just follow it with dual late season, even though we're putting out two herbicides, we're still leaving a lot of escapes in the field to be controlled late season. On the left is a plot that was treated just with Treflan PPI. It's very weedy, high Palmer amaranth population, and most likely the grower wouldn't be able to harvest this field. On the right is Treflan, followed by a single application of Caparol, and has received nothing else up until this picture was taken. By skipping that Caparol application, we have a lot of escapes that come up at around early posts that just aren't controlled by anything until we go out with a post-topical herbicide. And again, by throwing that Caparol into the system, we get much better control of pigweed. At the third location, we didn't see quite the effect of leaving out the Caparol from the herbicide systems, but still any addition to the prowl that was watered in earlier in the season reduces Palmer amaranth populations late season. As I mentioned before, in 2014, we had a fairly heavy rain event that came through following planting. So we were really curious to see what kind of Caparol injury that we've seen. And I don't want to overemphasize this, but the reason that we wanted to document this was because a lot of growers are hesitant to use Caparol and Cotteran pre-emergence because they're afraid of the seedling injury that may occur. So on the left is a picture of what kind of injury can be expected from Caparol, and on the right is the injury that we did see at the fifth location. But even though we picked up injury the first week after emergence, it quickly went away, and by the fifth week, we weren't able to pick up anything at all. The cotton had grown out of the injury. And that was really just the Caparol that was causing any of the seedling injury when it was. So on the Y or X-axis, we have percent injury from 0 up to 15% was the highest. And then again, our treatments on the Y-axis. Any addition of Caparol to the herbicide treatment the first week out caused 15% seedling injury to this location. However, by 3 weeks out, we dropped to 5% tops. And 5 weeks out, we weren't able to pick up any kind of injury to the cotton seedlings. Similar injury was seen at the fifth location with 25% injury the first week after emergence. By the third week, we're only seeing 7%, and by the fifth week, we had no noticeable injury at the location. And at the sixth location, even though we picked up injury the first week, by the third week, there was no significant injury to the cotton seedlings from herbicides or from the residual herbicides applied at pre-emergence. So in summary, the importance of a pre-emergence herbicide cannot be overstated. The gap in residual herbicides between the PPI and post-emergence allows for several escapes that will have to be controlled late season. And on farm, these escapes would be treated with multiple applications of glyphosate, glufosinate, or some of the other post-topical herbicides that will soon be available. However, the over-reliance on these post-topical herbicides may increase the potential for resistance development and shorten the effective life of the respective herbicides. So what we're encouraging growers to do, and what has been done over the Deep South, Mid-South, and Southeast since glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth became an issue, is to encourage the use of multiple residual herbicides applied PPI, pre-emergence, and post-emergence. In sandy soils, some seedling injury may occur if heavy rainfalls occur after planting. However, the cotton seedlings at these locations quickly overcame the initial injury. So while it may look bad 1 to 2 weeks after emergence, it quickly comes out of that kind of injury. So overlapping these residuals can reduce the Palmer amaranth escapes late season, putting less pressure on post-topical herbicides. And this may reduce the occurrence of resistance and extend the useful life of the respective herbicides. And with that, I'd like to take any questions about some of the work that we're doing in Lubbock.
You didn't like any of these trials?
No, sir. We didn't. And the biggest reason, they were fairly small plots that were in our growers' field. And we have similar trials that are going on at the research station where we're taking yield data from the same treatments. In the trials at the research station, we didn't see any yield reduction from the plots in the plots that had the most seedling injury. So it did not, even though there was injury for those first 2 to 3 weeks after emergence, that didn't translate to any seed cotton yield loss this year. Of the Caprol, we had a few heavy rainfalls early in the spring. So at most of these locations in Howard and at least in Howard and Martin County, we saw 3 to 4 weeks before we started getting some emergence in those sandy soils. And that's going to vary a lot between those sandy soils in the south and the southern high plains and as you move further north around Lubbock.
You may have mentioned what were y'all using to incorporate the
Prowl? So the Treflan was incorporated with a rolling cultivator, and then our one grower who used Prowl watered it in. No, between the two locations, as far as the on-farm is concerned, we didn't see any difference because let me back up a step. We can't really say that we saw any difference because we weren't comparing them. However, in our research trials at the station, the Treflan was more effective as a PPI if nothing else was used afterwards. As part of a system, both of them were very effective, but if you were only going to use one, at least at the Lubbock location, Treflan was more effective. Any more questions?